I'm going to share with you some verses from one of my favourite psalms, Psalm 103, a beautiful psalm of praise to God. David wrote this, King David, and it will be up on the screen. Thank you. So David starts off by saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And I'll put in another verse, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord." David's praise in this psalm focused on God's deeds. I guess it's easy for me to complain about life and what life does sometimes, but David's praise in this scripture gives us plenty to praise God about. And I read that he forgives our sins. We need that. He heals our diseases sooner or later. He redeems us from death. What a wonderful promise. He crowns us with love and compassion. We can't do without that, can we? We receive all of these things that God has for us without deserving any of them. No matter how difficult your life's journey, you can always count your blessings, past, present, and future. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for your unconditional love to us all. Thank you for your forgiveness when we confess and repent of our sins. Lord, help us to love others as you have loved us. May your love shine through us, and may the world recognize us as your disciples through our love for others. We pray for family, friends, and communities. Hear our prayer, Lord, for those in our church community who need your healing, hope, love, and peace in their lives. May we be a source of love, support, and encouragement to them. On behalf of our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer terrible persecutions and natural disasters, we ask, loving Father, that you protect them, stay close to them, so that their hearts will remain hopeful and full of love for you, even when everything else is lost. We cry out to you, Lord, to provide for your people and maintain the hope of those who would otherwise be hopeless. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and we look forward to seeing continually your goodness and faithfulness in this new year. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're focusing on the theme of love today. Surely we can't go wrong with that. in a world which is so disrupted, and that we should concentrate positivity as we approach this new year, as it's skidding away on us, in fact. So we have a Bible reading, and I'm reading from the Love chapter, and probably you've heard this a dozen or 100 times over. So I've chosen to read it, controversially, from Eugene Peterson's Message Bible today, because it makes us rethink a little bit what we've heard, and it's very, very strong. And I like that. And it's called The Way of Love. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the cracking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burnt as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. How did you score in all of that? Did you go okay? We're trying with God's help, aren't we? And the last few verses, but for right now, until that completedness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love. So that's all very strong, isn't it? All very strong and challenging to us. And we're not there yet, because the completedness of God's plan hasn't happened, but it doesn't mean we can't walk with God and do the best we can in obedience to him. The world needs a renewal of love, doesn't it? How we feel it in our own hearts as we read the news and we see the anger of individuals towards each other. You probably saw on the news last night a bit of road rage. Did you see that? They started ramming each other's cars. After they had a big fight, they lined up with their vehicles and destroyed each other's vehicles by backing into them. And it just shows that we are very much out of control with this human sin nature that we have. So we need faith, hope, and love to prevail in this year ahead. Just over 10 years ago, on the first day of the new year, Gillian and I were enjoying a day around the house after sitting up until after midnight to watch the Sydney New Year's fireworks on TV. Well, we did the same this year. It's so easy to get all that scenery just by sitting in your own lounge and hearing all the noises and seeing where you spent some of your money, just blowing it off. Better to blow it off in celebration than at each other, though, isn't it? So much better. On that day, at 2 p.m., the telephone rang, And we heard through our eldest son that our eldest grandson had nearly drowned at a beach north of Batemans Bay. Lachlan was with friends when a severe rip dragged him down and out to sea. Immediately, a middle-aged man went to his help and managed to get him out of the rip and bring him ashore. He'd swallowed some water and was near unconscious. He said he thought he was going to die. Out of spontaneous care and love, a friend had risked his life to save Lachlan. Aren't we so glad about that? He's now 32 and married with two children. But we nearly lost him on that day, and someone was nearby. Someone disregarded his own safety, and out of spontaneous care and love, pulled him out of the water. We drove Lachlan's dad, Guyon, to the coast straight away from Canberra so we could see Lachlan home safely from that experience. In the Gospel of John 15:15, we read, greater love has no man than that he lay down his life for a friend. We thank God for saving Lachlan's life, and that we could personally thank the man who bravely hauled him out of the water. It was good that he was still there when we got down to Batemans Bay at a cafe, to be able to shake the hand of the man who'd pulled him out. As we think about this theme of sacrificial love today, we of course think about the one who gave his life on the cross for our salvation. Greater love has no man than he laid down his life for us, his friends. As we observe the daily news about wars throughout the world, we see how far we've come from a loving, caring world. And yet amidst all the trauma, we see those who are trying so hard to assist those who are suffering. Doctors, nurses, family members, negotiators who are trying to talk up agreements somewhere, often failing but still trying, and people of goodwill are doing all they can to help in this troubled world. And that's where Christians come into it especially. I'm not saying that others can't come like that man did who pulled Lachlan out of the surf, but love is from God, and that impetus for us to work hard in that direction is really good. Sorry to talk about my family a bit, but our daughter was up last weekend with her twins. And just a week ago, she was across at Woolworths over here. And she's done about a decade as an intensive care nursing sister. And as she was walking out the Woolworths door, you know how sometimes you see people begging on the street? Well, this guy who's normally begging there was out cold on the pavement, and people were starting to gather around. And of course, Tamil, our daughter, thought, well, I better swing into action here. And see, she was looking for vital signs to see, you know, whether he was on the way out or he had chance of survival, and did the things that nurses do. And he started to move a little bit, saw his hands move a little bit, said, quick, ring an ambulance, but I think someone already had. And anyway, police came by and ambulance came by shortly after. And our daughter was able to, just because of her training and who she is, she was able to respond to someone who could have died of, we think, hypothermia, but wasn't, you can't diagnose them just there and then. But that was an act of love. And each of us with our own gifts can respond in our own way, can't we? With little acts of love, or big ones, actually saving a life. So surely as individuals and as the body of believers, we can try with God's help to do the best as individuals and as a church to show real love just where we are, to overcome evil with good. And that's what there's a great need for in this world, isn't there? To overcome evil with good and to look for the good in other people, as is mentioned in that scripture. Foundational to this is the proper expression of love towards each other and our neighbours. We can start somewhere, can't we? And with those around us and those near us, family, those in our street, those we come across, we can start there. Or we're probably already doing it. I'm sure you're doing it. But we can even put more effort, put our shoulder behind what we're already doing. Paul says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but cracking of a rusty gate. And I think the reason Apostle Paul is so strong is because he was so bad before. He was a terrible guy. He went around killing the new Christians. He went from that and then got thoroughly saved when God zapped him. And said, hey, listen, stop. Look what you're doing. And changed him from being that kind of person to the new person because he was born again. And of course, his writing is prolific through the New Testament. And so there's so much extremes in this statement because of the contrast that he had from being present, actually, and being at the stoning of Stephen. You know, before he met Jesus on the road to, was it Damascus? Yeah, I got it right. So Jesus said in John 13:35 about love, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so that's the key. So we often in a bad mood may not want to love other people very much. We might be a bit moody or put off. And I'd like to just review the pluses and minuses in that reading. And I think Mel's going to put it up on the board for us. Thanks, Mel. So love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. But on the positive side, it takes pleasure on the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Well, almost anything. It's hard, isn't it? Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. An adapted quote from John Bloom says, if trust can be broken, love dries up and the church will split, the small group will fall apart, the marriage will break up, the friendship will disintegrate, and the professing Christian may even walk away from the faith. When love dries up, Christianity dries up. So to destroy love, Satan targets trust. It's the quickest way to kill love. And in 1 John 3, 16 to 18, John says, well, the single greatest evidence is we belong to Christ in surpassing spiritual giftedness. Sorry, that doesn't fit in there. I'll just do the reading. says very similar things in right throughout the New Testament, where John says, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." Verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death." And verse 16, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brothers in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." So it reiterates the same thing right through Scripture. And again, at the end of that chapter, that love chapter, in 1 Corinthians, it says, "If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to mount to a mountain, jump and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing." And so this contrast of, you know, love is shown by what we do and how it works out in his life. And today I have a little sheet to give out to you, and it's about some other aspects of love. And I thought I'd put it on a sheet so you could take it home with you and think about it. Would you like to hand some out, please? So I didn't expect you to remember all of this, because I have a job to remember it myself. So it's best if we look at it and ponder over it as we look at these various things that John Loom has written about the various resolves that he has in regard to what to do about improving our love for other people. And the first resolve is to resolve to assume the best in others. Far more often we think worse of others than we should. We should assume the best until proven otherwise. A great way to start with a friendship. Resolve to pursue reconciliation quickly. Jesus tells us to go quickly to someone who has been offended by us and be reconciled to them, so that we do our part. Whether or not they respond is their business, and we need to be assured, though, in our own conscience that we have done all we can. Resolve not to gossip. Offences and resentments are contagious, it says in Proverbs 26:20. Don't pass it on to others and make trust rebuilding harder. And one of the most difficult things, and I've been three of us in the churches I've been involved in and places I've been involved in, because gossip is like a commando undercurrent that tears people apart. And I went to a church once, I won't name it, of course, went to a church, and I could feel it when I walked in the door. I could feel the undercurrent of this one and that one being at odds with each other. And it was a terrible feeling that I had. It was like a disease that had come upon me. Resolve to forgive offences. When an offence has really occurred, the Bible is very clear, and we are to bear with one another and forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven us. And of course, that's in the Lord's Prayer as well. And that's a blockage for real love to flow. We live the gospel when we let love cover a multitude of sins. And resolve to kill the seed of resentment. Ephesians 4:31. If we let resentment grow, it will choke love to death. When we recognise that it has taken root, we must kill it through confession and giving and doing all we can to pursue the peace of reconciliation. as it says in Romans 19 and 20. I'm not talking politics here at all, but Jimmy Carter passed away, age 100, and you probably saw that news. And he claimed publicly he was a born-again Christian. I'm talking about the man. And he had an opportunity to respond with war to hostages that were taken, apparently. But he chose reconciliation instead. And he probably lost his position as president for being too weak or whatever. But the hostages all got returned and war didn't happen. Doesn't that sound like a bit of good news to someone who had a strong conviction to save life, not to cause problems? And I know we have to defend ourselves. I know if someone came to my house and wanted to beat my wife up or something, I think I'd be fairly violent as well in defence. And I'm not ruling that out. Yeah, I've often thought of things like, you know, what would you do? Would you go with the spray can and a match and spray it on them and light it? Reconciliation might be better. But you do think those other thoughts sometimes, don't you? And I used to have guns when I was on the farm because we needed them. That was the tool of the trade. And I had about 9 guns in my room before the Howard sort of took some off me. I could shoot really well. We used to shoot foxes about 3 times a week. And so I could think of violence too, if you like. But I chose not to. I choose not to, and I gave in the most dangerous guns. Anyway, I got off the point there. Resolve to remember the gospel. The cross of Jesus reminds us of how much grace has been shown to us. It settles all accounts of justice and frees us to serve our enemies and much more offending friends. Offending friends can be a real pain, can't they? But to do it in love. And so, you know, all these things. Do not pay anyone evil for evil, it says. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And verse 18, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's where we started, wasn't it? Trying to approach this new year by overcoming evil with good as far as we possibly can. And in the framework of our sin nature, which is still very strong at times when people can really annoy us. And it's lovely to see when love prevails, and I like nothing more than when I'm up in street ministry on Saturday morning, for instance, and families are coming up and they're holding hands as they walk past. And little kids are coming by. And as little as 1 year old, it's hard to judge how old a child is, but they're there sitting in the pram going past and they give me a great big wave as they go by because their parents have taught them to wave. And sometimes just a 2 year old or fresh out of walking school and they come past and the box that I have to put the money in, it must look like a mountain to them. And the mother says, put the money in the box. And they're looking around and they're trying to please their mothers. And they come up and they put the money in the box. And it's my pleasure then to get a little sticker, a little puppy dog sticker, and take their hand and put a little sticker on the back of their hand. And to see happy families and to see happiness in the world is a great joy to me. So I guess we could look at this list and we can feel guilty about past failures. But with God, we can bring that guilt and those failures to him in prayer, knowing that we are forgiven as we confess our sins to him, and that every day indeed every new year can be fresh and clean as we walk with him in the Spirit with determination to be obedient to all that we need to do to be our best selves. Let us pray and then we'll have our final song. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the challenge that has been come to us so strongly through your word today. We give thanks that you also empower us to be able to give more love than we normally would be able to because of the sin nature that we have. But we know that sin has been overcome by Christ in us, and that we can go beyond ourselves and we can share the love with those who are close to us, our neighbours, those in our community, where we travel, where we work. And we just pray indeed that you'll help us to have our consciences trained to such a degree that we can respond immediately with what your word tells us we should do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you for this time of worship and reflection. As we prepare to leave this place, we ask for your peace to fill our hearts. May the hope of Christ dwell within us, encouraging us in times of trial and inspiring us to spread joy wherever we go. Help us to be bearers of your love in a world that often feels heavy with burdens. Let our lives be testament to your faithfulness and grace. As we depart, may we carry your light into the darkness, shining brightly for all to see. We pray this in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.